Welcome back. 3:37, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And on this Friday afternoon, time to welcome Jennifer Harper from Inside the Beltway back to the program. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi there, Andy Parks. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
All right. Cruz on cruise control amid Democratic attacks. You're talking about Ted Cruz.
Oh, yes, indeedy. And this is a very interesting little political vignette. I think it's going to be ongoing. Our friends over at Powerline.com had some very telling headlines in which they said Rubio ridicule and Cruz hatred was out there among the Democrats. And, of course, this is following Senator Rubio's water bottle incident and also the very outspoken Mr. Cruz all week long. And interesting to note that they would start picking on these gentlemen, Hispanic American gentlemen, when they are so coveting the Hispanic vote.
Yeah.
And Mr. Cruz himself was the one that came forward to get right back at him. And first he said the Democrats and the media are afraid of Marco Rubio because he's smart, intelligent, and a conservative Hispanic. And, you know, he nails all that very quickly. But the one thing that the Democrats may not be noticing, or maybe they've forgotten, is the fact that Mr. Cruz was the Solicitor General of Texas. He penned 80 Supreme Court briefs. He argued 40 arguments, 9 in front of the Supreme Court himself. That guy is tough.
Yeah.
He's an arguer. They can't get around him, and it just drives him crazy.
Well, you know, here's the other part of that. He doesn't take any gruff from anyone, and that includes longtime Republicans. He's more than willing to go after the Democrats, which he should be. And I noticed the other night on MSNBC, yes, I watch it, so you don't have to. So you don't have to. I watch it. They were just chopping this guy to pieces because how dare him go up against these long-time Democrats? He needs to learn his place. It was almost like there's a pecking order, and you're young and dumb, and you don't have any say. And Ted Cruz, to his credit, is just right in their faces. And I love it. I think the guy's got a great future ahead of him. In fact, I just mentioned a short while ago, I'm tired of Republicans not having any backbone, you know, and he's a guy that does, and Rubio's a guy that does. So, you know, I think he may be onto something. It's making the Democrats a little too nervous.
Yeah, it really is. They're not used to it. They don't like it, and there's more to come as well.
Yep. All right, Democrats want their gun control legislation now.
Yes, now, like faster than a speeding bullet. There's, of course, a poll about all this, endless polls about gun control and the lack of it. And this is according to the Pew Research Center, did a big takeout on all of this. And they found out that 71% of Democrats say it is essential for Congress and the President to act on gun legislation this year. That's what they want. 18% said maybe in a couple of years, only 9% said that it should not be done. And, of course, there's a very huge and predictable partisan divide on all of this. 53% of the Republicans say, we don't need any action at all.
Yeah. Well, the Democrats better learn their lesson from – I just played a soundbite from Massachusetts last night at a town hall meeting where one of the selectmen had come up with this idea of banning assault weapons. Last night, it was literally thrown into the garbage, and the place erupted in applause. And this one liberal Democrat who had proposed it was just crying in his beer over it. And so maybe we're going to see more of that around the country because people have got to realize that – you know, you can have all the laws in the world, but the bad guys don't pay any attention, and the mentally ill certainly aren't going to pay any attention to them. You know?
That's a good point, Andy. And you know, just like watching Senator Cruz and Senator Rubio at work, this is a work in progress. It's constantly unfolding, and we have to cover it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to talk to Valerie Richardson, who's has a story in today's Washington Times, and it deals with gun control and the effects of it in Colorado, where we've got a couple of companies that are considering packing up and moving because the product they manufacture under these new gun laws would be illegal in the state of Colorado. So there's a tax revenue, cost involved to the state of Colorado. It's not just about making new laws. It's going to affect people's, you know, their employment, the tax base and structure in some of these states. So it's a big deal. All right, Ben and Jerry's newest flavor.
Campaign finance reform is their newest flavor.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Vermont-based ice cream makers are normally known for Chubby Hubby, but they are, as you know, you may like their ice cream, but they're
very... I don't like their ice cream. I don't like their ice cream, and I will not eat their ice cream. How's that?
Well, I guess they don't care if you're going to eat
That's
their ice
right.
cream or not, but they have a new... a great new stampede that they're going to have. And what they're asking people to do is stamp certain phrases on dollar bills. They are supplying the stamps. The phrases read things like, corporations are not people. Please do not give this to a politician, meaning the dollar bill. And essentially what they're doing is they want this is according to Ben Cohen. He's the guru up there. He wants an amendment to the U.S. Constitution saying that corporations are not people, money is not free speech, and huge donations by corporations, super PACs, and the super wealthy drown out the voice of ordinary Americans. But they're selling these rubber stamps at cost, and they're calling this a petition on steroids. They figure when they want you to stamp these phrases on dollar bills, $5 bills, whatever, in red ink, and they did all the math and figured out that every dollar bill is seen by about 800 people.
Mm-hmm.
So you do the math on that, and they figured, oh, 1.5 million people are going to see some of these bills.
Okay, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring charges against him because you cannot do that. You know, there is a law about defacing money, and what they're doing is that they're encouraging that. So I think I have a case here. And get me a lawyer. Get me Paul Samico on this. I'm going to sue them. Because this is wrong. In fact, I'm going to have them locked up.
Well,
that's what I'll do.
They claim that this is all legal.
It's not legal. It's not legal. You can't deface money. You know, you can't have rubber stamps on money. You can't. It's against the law.
Well, this should be interesting. I'll have to check on Monday and see what happens with all of this.
Yeah. I mean, really, you can't do it. Anyway, I think
it's campaign finance.
Yeah.
This is not new for them, but it's certainly an interesting outlet.
Yeah, I hope they end up in jail. Yeah.
All
right, let up on Rove. We may need him, please.
This is the first time that I have seen this in 10 days of Karl Rove bashing, and actually American Crossroads is out with a new video today talking about the sequester and all of its follies. So we have definitely not heard the last of Karl Rove. You know, people are still mad at him over the much-ballyhooed conservative victory project, all of that arguing between the Tea Parties and the traditional conservatives versus the establishment.
He's done. He's toast.
Well, I don't know.
I don't want to talk about him anymore. I don't like the guy anymore.
Well, this is actually coming out of Commentary Magazine, believe it or not. And they're saying, essentially, this is Jonathan Tobin up there. He's a senior online editor at Commentary. He said, whatever the state of Rove's current fortune, this tells us nothing about how he or the party will do, and Republicans should welcome any group, including that of Rove, aimed at helping
right.
him win the election.
Okay.
Which is an interesting point because we may have to have all hands on deck.
And this guy is what? And this guy's a Democrat telling us to keep Rove?
No, from Commentary Magazine. I don't know what he is.
You don't do
Commentary Magazine.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm
going to check into the background of this guy. What's his name?
His name is Jonathan Tobin. I've quoted him before in Beltway.
Oh, yeah?
And he said liberals may want to hold on to Rove as a right-wing boogeyman.
All right, okay.
But conservatives need to stop obsessing about him and the mythical establishment he represents. If they are to win again, they will need all the help they can get from the likes of Rove.
He's done.
So that, you know, I haven't seen that in the past 10 days, so that's kind of a first for all of that.
Mm-hmm. All right, Oscar-nomics. How much does that red carpet cost anyway? Huh?
Well, yeah, let's look at all this. It's interesting that the Hollywood Reporter took a look at all the funny little things that you can only find at the Oscars. Well, maybe at a couple places, but out there in Tinseltown. And they found out how much all of this stuff is costing. That red carpet you see with all the beautiful girls on it, $25,000 for that. On Oscar night, they're going to be spending $1 million on the stage set, $250,000. This is for one night, for security people, $240,000 for the event staff, $45,000 for the 50. 24-carat plated Oscar statuettes. I found that very interesting. $20,000 for gourmet chocolates, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And $10,000 on those hand-addressed, embossed, gold-stamped envelopes when they say the winner is all of those envelopes. Oh, there are only 50 of them. $10,000, Andy.
Wow. too many rich Obama friends out there. Really.
And I know you'll be excited to know that Barbara Streisand and Jane Fonda are both going to be presenters this year.
Well, that's another reason for me not to watch it.
You're going to watch a rerun of Gunsmoke.
You know what? I never watch that show. I never watch the Oscars because it's just easier to get the best sound bites the next day. Because quite frankly, I'm bored with the Hollywood type. You know, I really am.
It is pretty well overproduced, but I must say that.
Does anybody watch it anymore? Really? Anne's looking at me like, yes, of course, everybody watches it.
No, she likes all that stuff. But Seth MacFarlane, he's the fan.
I want to see what the
he's
ratings are for
singer.
It. Seriously.
He's going to be the MC. So
really? What are the ratings for that show now? Does anybody know?
They go down, but they still get millions. It's not like what they were, say, in the Go-Go Reagan 80s or something like that.
Yeah.
But the good news, after all is said and done, Andy, at least Los Angeles, the city of Los Angeles, gets $130 million out of it. So it is good economy.
Well, they need it, that's for sure. They'll waste it on something. Okay, I'll watch MSNBC instead. And, I'm doing the work of the American people. All right, have a good weekend. We'll talk on Monday.
Okay, stay calm, Andy.
All right, see you later. Jennifer Harper from Inside the Beltway. I hate it when she talks about Ben & Jerry's ice cream. It just gets me fired up. I don't like those guys. You know, and then she follows it up with Karl Rove. You know, I'm really cranky today. You know, it must be this cold. I hope I'm nice to the next guest, who happens to be Joel Wolfinger, author, one of the authors of the book RICO, How Politicians, Prosecutors, and the Mob Destroyed One of the FBI's Finest Special Agents. He's my guest next right here on WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.